Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show. Now on
with
the
countdown. With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson. Happy 4th of July, everybody. We're recording this June 27th, not as festive. A week in advance. I mean, how lazy are we that we just kept recording from last week instead of meeting up again?
I don't think that's lazy. One of the things, because, you know, I go on vacation every 4th of July. And every 4th of July, Robbie has me down there with my laptop doing podcasts. You know what I mean? I mean, like, give me 1 week. So this, I appreciate it, Robbie. Thank you so much. I don't think it's laziness.
I don't know, we couldn't do it on the 28th, the 29th, the 30th.
We could have, but I mean, what's one day? We're already here. We're all gathered. He's recording. Yeah, and this makes the most sense. I'm with Robbie on this.
But we talk about our lives and what happened in our lives. What's happened since we stopped recording last week? You know how long it was? It was 8 seconds.
Yeah, they can deal with it one episode. Plus, I'm going to tell some things that did happen in my life that I didn't tell the last episode.
All right. Well, let's do that. Plus, we have... Marcus is going to play a clip from TMOS regarding what comics wear. And I guess we should comment on that. Thanks a lot for asking our opinion, guys, but whatever. You went to the Bare Naked Ladies concert. I did a corporate gig. We got some stuff to talk about. So start us off, Joe. Give us your best story.
So, I mean, the concert sucked. I don't really like their music that much. They thought they were hilarious. They were annoying. Howard Jones was there along with OMD. You don't know any songs by OMD, but they sang "If You Leave."
If you leave, right.
Other than that, you might know a couple, but nothing. You know, so it wasn't a great concert. Anyway,
I've seen Howard Jones concert.
Well, Howard Jones was the best of the three, but he didn't sing "No One Is to Blame," which I think is his best song. And I was like, oh, that sucks. But then he came back out with the Bare Naked Ladies and sang it. So he actually made the Bare Naked Ladies, you know. There was two songs I loved that the Bare Naked Ladies did. One was Maybe Katie. I didn't know that song before, but it had my girlfriend's name in it. I like that. And then Howard Jones came out and they did a song that's better than any of the Bare Naked Ladies songs. Anyway, Robbie's a big Bare Naked Ladies fan. I didn't know that.
Neither did I.
Apologize for saying that their music sucks. But let's be honest. One of the songs they did was the theme song for the Big Bang Theory. I mean, how good can they be?
Yeah, I don't like that.
Did they play that song?
Something happened.
Joe, did they play the Bare Naked, the Big Bang Theory song?
They played it, yeah. Now, of course, you know the real song has like three verses and chorus, right? Oh, and so they played the whole thing. And everybody cheered like it was, they had just heard, you know.
Stairway to Heaven.
Right, thank you, Robbie.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Right. So there's a kid, and he's probably, he might be maybe 11, 12 years old, and he's in a wheelchair, this kid. Now, we're on the lawn, and these people plop their chairs down right in front of this wheelchair kid, right?
Right.
And, of course, the mother's like, hey, excuse me, you know, do you mind? We really wanted to kind of keep this. And the guy's like, hey, you know, I'm not trying to be a dick, but, you know, he's in a wheelchair. He can just go right up front. He can go get way better seats than he has. I mean, this, I mean, first of all, he doesn't know who the Bare Naked Ladies are. But if he really does love them, go take, he, they'll let him on the stage. He's in a wheelchair. I was like, man, that's pretty ballsy, but that guy's kind of right. You know, they could have.
What did they say? Why would you want to be on the lawn? I mean, that's, well, the advantage of being in a wheelchair is you get to do shit like that.
Of course, yes. It sucks to be in a wheelchair. The one thing that you get to do is park wherever you want and sit wherever you want. You know, your life sucks except for at these events where you get to go. If you're at a sporting event, you get to be on the floor. If you're at a concert, same thing. You know, they'll give you preferential treatment. You get to park right up front. It's a, that's the time. And you're not taking advantage. You are. And by the way, they were further back than I was on the lawn. And they were there before us. It's like they had decided, all right, here's a concert that you don't give a shit about, kid. And we're not even going to give you good seats. And now we're going to put you as far back as we possibly can. And people are going to sit in front of you.
Maybe but he anyway. Hated the Bare Naked Ladies. He wanted to be as far away from him as possible.
And I don't know.
And he suffered enough. If I'm in a wheelchair, I'm going to go to more concerts. I'm going to start liking music just because I know I can go and get a better seat.
Of course, if you're in a wheelchair, really what you want to do is go to sporting events. Like, you know, what are you going to do? Go away to Cabo? You know, your life is going to be sporting events and concerts. That's what it's going to be. Yeah, I would certainly not sit on the lawn ever.
No.
Although I really love the lawn. And matter of fact, we went to see Hall & Oates. We got moved from the lawn and I was disappointed. But the lawn is better because I don't need to see these guys up close. You know, I'm fine.
Right.
You know, a couple football fields back, I can hear them.
It's less comfortable, though.
No, I don't agree with that. We're laying down on a blanket. You know, of course, we laid our blanket down and, you know, we were right in the middle. We had a clear shot. And all these people came up in front of us, no lie, probably about 16 people with chairs and just sat right directly in front of us. Matter of fact, there was a guy and he was wearing a chair as a backpack. And Katie and I were just walking around, you know, because we're bored or whatever. And I see this guy where I go, look at this douche. He had a Tommy Bahama chair. He was wearing it on his back. He was walking around. That guy was in front of us. That was one of the guys who plopped down in front of us. He ended up with a better seat than us, that guy. Now, have you ever seen a concert at Pier 6?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so you realize that if you see a band is coming to Pier 6, you're like, oh, man, I'd really like to see that band. You can go sit for free on Pier 5. You just go over there and sit there. Do you need to see the Bare Naked Ladies? You need to see five white guys in their 40s and in their 50s? You need to see that?
No, I just go to your reunion if I want that.
Right. You can sit across the canal and just, there were people that were just parked there with their chairs and they're seeing their, by the way, I paid $75 a ticket for mine.
What? For that concert?
Well, Dave got it through a broker. I don't know what he did. I mean, it was clearly, the lawn seats are $20. I'm not mad at Dave because, you know, Dave hooked me up a million times, but this wasn't the best deal by a long shot, but it doesn't matter. But from now on, if there's a band that's coming there, and I'm like, well, I don't care about seeing them. It's not like there's going to be some sort of light and laser show.
Right.
You can go see. I mean, who doesn't?
Well, how's
you
should
just
the
be
sound?
Lined up on the side. What's that?
How's the audio from over there? That's the real issue.
I don't know. I've never done it. But what would be the problem just going over there and just checking it out and seeing what would happen? It's in front of a hotel, too. So if you got to go to the bathroom, you just get up, go inside, go to the hotel, go to the bathroom. Probably a restaurant in there. You go get a sandwich.
Now, you say the guy was wearing a chair as a backpack. Did he have it, like, strapped to him somehow?
Yes, there were straps. It was one of these folding chairs that, you know, they had straps on them and he had them around his arms. Yeah. All
right. How much money for a year you got to wear that everywhere you go?
A year?
Yeah.
Do I sleep with it?
No, you can take it off when you sleep or shower and stuff like that.
Well, again, I always say it's got to be enough that I can retire from my job because they're not going to let me wear that.
Why not?
Because I have to, they're not going to let me wear a chair to work. They're not. There's a dress
code.
When
you have to do some sort of presentation in front of a client, you can take it off. But when you're there making phone calls, getting coffee, walking in every day, you got to be wearing that chair.
All right. I would do it for, it's more than you think. Because what about my personal life? You know what I mean? When I went to the chair on.
You're a chair guy.
I mean, it'd be over $100,000.
I don't even think you do it for 100,000.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's going to be a ton. But here, how about this? This is just a question I had. Okay, so it's more for a girl, but you're on a date, and this and a guy says to a girl, "Hey, I'm, you know, the Bare Naked Ladies or Sublime is going to be there soon at Pier 6. Hey, Sublime's going to be at Pier 6. You want to go to the concert?" She's like, "Yeah, I'd love to go." And then you sit on the side for free. You think that would be a problem?
Yeah.
If on her first day with Tawanda?
Yeah, like, because hey, you're letting her know you don't really care about trying to impress her.
Hmm.
But, I mean, if you have no money and she knows that going in, you're making an effort to do something. I mean, if you're in your 20s, it's fine, but not if you're 30-year-old.
I think the key is if you disclose, right? Hey, you know what I like to do? I like to go to Pier 6. I need to go see all the concerts. I just sit over on the side. It's the exact same distance as you'd be from the back of the lawn. And you sit across the canal. It's all free. I've seen Billy Idol. I've seen Bill Cosby. I've seen Rusted Root. I've seen, you know, you just start seeing all the bands you've seen, right?
Idol, Root, and Cosby. Now, that's one strategy. I think you do this. Hey, last minute idea. Let's go see Bare Naked Ladies. Shit, they're sold out. You know what? Let's just go Pier 5. Let's just do it.
You know, I looked online. They weren't sold out. You know what I mean? If you get busted, you're going to, oh, I guess I saw there were tickets. We're good. Oh, I must have looked in the wrong place.
Right. Or maybe you're just driving by. You say, what's going on here? You kind of do it on the sly, as opposed to saying you do it all the time. I don't know.
Yeah, but if you said, hey, let's go out. Hey, you know what? I just remembered Vampire Weekend's there, you know, and then you're in all the canal.
How much money you can't sit an entire year? Except when you're in the bathroom, and of course you can lie down when you go to sleep.
God, dude, that would be hard as hell.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, your legs would get super strong.
I don't. I mean, could you physically do it? Weekends there, you know. I hear my own voice. Why?
I don't know if you could physically do it. Eventually, you could, but you could get hurt in the process.
I mean, I've been in places just where. Like, I remember going to see concerts at the Fillmore where I just had to stand for, like, 3 hours, and I leave, and my legs are just, they're numb from pain, just from standing there.
All right, you can only sit for 1 hour a day.
There are also times where you have to sit down. I can't be in an Oriole game and just be standing in front, you know what I mean?
You just don't go to the game. You don't go to the movies.
What if I'm in a funeral?
You don't go out to eat.
What if a family member dies?
You stand in the back. You're too upset to sit. You play usher. I'm just welcoming people. I'm glad you could make it. You're sitting right here. Just do that shit.
What if my son gets married? My oldest, he gets married.
You get in the wedding. You're one of his groomsmen.
Yeah, they stand most of the time.
Yeah.
All right. I'll do it for 220.
Done. All right. You get paid at the end. You start tomorrow. have fun 4th of July. You're going to go. You go to the beach. You're going to family.
That's right. July 4th. Robbie, are you going the whole week?
No, we're leaving on the 6th.
By the way, Robbie is such a pain in the ass. Okay. What did we talk about last week about Gramps? He is a worrier, right? He's a worrier. He's all, you know, remember when I'm sick, I all of a sudden I'm not on the show. He's calling me, you okay? You know, and he worries, right?
Yeah, he was calling me when I had my kidney stone issue.
So that's fine, right? But there's a practice, a rehearsal that I can't make for the murder mystery while I'm on vacation. Robbie calls him to tell him. Why'd you do that, Robbie?
I didn't call him. He's going to worry. I didn't call him specifically to tell him that. We were talking, and I told him, I said, I'm not even sure if Joe's coming. There's a rehearsal right in the middle of the time.
Thanks for doing that. I'm sure that, I mean, what's the matter with you?
Yeah, there's no point to do that, Robbie.
Yeah, I guess not.
In retrospect.
Yeah, well, we can't undo it now. Thanks a lot. Yeah, July is a huge month for us. This is our biggest month in Die Laughing Productions history. We have 5 different venues, 8 shows total. It's the first time we're taking her on the road without you or Justin in terms of Tommy and I doing some stuff. We are with the weekend at Magoobies. We're getting the Friday, Saturday night, July 22nd and 23rd. So a month from now, we're going to have a lot better idea about our brand than we do now.
Yeah. Again, summer is always a little less attended, but I do think that this show is going to, this is going to be a good theme for people to really want to get to.
Well, I'm stressed about it, but yeah.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons that you probably should be stressed is I don't have the time that I had before. So I can't really lend myself to what I normally would do, which is do a lot of the heavy lifting, which you've basically done all of recently. So I did go out and film. I filmed most of them. I think you refilmed one of them, but I was there for all of those. And we just filmed another one with Eric this past weekend, which is going to be really funny if we ever use it.
You went to Eric's surprise birthday party.
Yeah, that was a really cool thing. So if you've ever watched Scene the Murder Mystery, there's a guy who does, a heavier guy, does some physical comedy, and he's hysterical. His name's Eric Woodworth. And I got a message on Facebook from his wife saying, hey, will you help me get Eric out of the house for a surprise party? I didn't know this. Maybe you did. Eric's birthday, do you know when it is?
No.
It's in December. So the surprise party was in June.
That's a good surprise.
That's the thing. The reason for it was Eric's like, man, I always want to have a surprise party, but it's always ruined. The surprise is always spoiled. So she said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw this thing 6 months early. He'll never suspect it, which is true.
Was there a cake and gifts and stuff?
Now, there was a bunch of people there, and there was food and alcohol, and there was canned jam, and there was cornhole. And yeah, I mean, it was music. Yeah, it was a blast.
That's good for her. It's a good idea.
It was a good idea.
Did he come in and everyone yelled surprise? And he's like, what the fuck?
Now, of course, I wasn't there for the surprise because I was the person that had to get him out of the house.
Right.
So I took him all the way to Easton. And I nailed it, by the way, with the time. I was supposed to have him there back anytime after 1:30. I had him back by 2.
Perfect.
Pretty good. So he lives about 30 minutes from my apartment. We got back. He calls, of course. My biggest concern was that he would stop and eat, right? But that wasn't my problem.
Why? You think he can't eat again?
Well, that's not the point. The point is that, you know, there are people there waiting for him to arrive.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, you know, he came to met at my house at 9 o'clock in the morning. So, I mean, look, I'm not being critical of Eric, but I would not definitely, he doesn't have a swimmer's body. I'm imagining that he takes in some calories to maintain that physique.
Sure.
So I doubt there's been many days that he hasn't eaten from 9 a.m. to 2. Do you agree?
No, he didn't have a snack. He didn't have a
He didn't eat one thing. He had a coffee with him when he came there, and I stopped and got a coffee.
He almost died.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm glad. Happy birthday, Eric. I'm sorry I couldn't be there. Maybe I'll go to your birthday when it's happening again.
The real
in
birthday.
6 months. Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into... what is the proper attire for a comedian to wear on stage? Probably not a wolf shirt. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Today's show is brought to you by the Mike O'Mara Show's Amazon page. Why mess with the traffic and hassle of your local shopping center? Face it, the weather sucks, the traffic sucks, and so do 90% of the people out there. So stay home and double-click your way to happiness. Amazon has everything for your home and your office, whether it's paper clips, coffee, clothes, electronics, nutrition pellets for your children, or cleaning supplies. If you need it, Amazon has it, and they're always open at MikeOmaraShow.com/Amazon. Amazon is the best way to save yourself some money while supporting the shows you love so much. Remember, click the Amazon banner at MikeOmaraShow.com and don't be afraid to bookmark it.
The Rob and Joe Show.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Now, Marcus, on TMOS last week, Mike got into this about comedians' attire, correct?
Yeah, they were talking about normal dress because they were busting on Oscar about the way he dresses at an event for Big O and Dukes. And so then Mike took it into the realm of comedians and how they dress.
Well, let's hear it.
I like a comedian that that doesn't let his garb get in the way of what he's doing. And I'm not talking about Oscar. I'm talking about comedians when I see him come out. There's nothing that I hate more than a comedian that tries to be too sexy. Do you know what I'm talking about? For example, I think Eddie Murphy, as funny as he was, took away from himself when he wore that leather
red leather suit
with the gloves and all that.
Because what do people say when they talk about that movie? And I forget which one it is.
Raw.
They say the one where he was in the red suit. They don't talk about the material. Suit.
Exactly.
The suit was the star of that film.
And you see comedians that come out. The greatest example, and I know that I probably run it into the ground, but the greatest example is George Carlin,
mm-hmm.
who just like would throw on a T-shirt or a black shirt and come out and just be there.
Yeah, I guess I do see what he's saying. And I think Eddie Murphy was purposely trying to look like a rock star comedian, which he was. And so I don't know if that's a bad thing that you reference that. You remember what he wore. That probably made him and his whole persona more memorable. But I agree, when you look back now, he looks ridiculous.
Well, yeah, but a lot of things that you wear when you look back now, the first thing is that people see, they said Raw, but the red suit is Delirious, which is one of the greatest comedy hours in history. So I can't really say it detracted from that, because that's the, you know, ice cream where he got the ice cream and he's too lazy to take a shower because he put the Old Spice on his dick and all this stuff. I mean, it was a huge, it was actually the in terms of his stand up, it was the springboard into all the other things that he did. And it was 100 times funnier than Raw, Delirious was. And he happened to be wearing that red suit. Did it take away? It didn't for me. I was a kid. And I agree that he was supposed to look cool. You look back and he doesn't. But at the time, I mean, I couldn't pull anything like that off. But,
right.
I do hear what he's saying, though. I've worn, only a couple times, like I wore my Dolphin shirt on stage one time and at the Hyatt. And I remember I just happened to have it on. And when I went up there, I go, wow, I like dolphins. What's the big deal? And everybody laughed. And that was it. Never addressed it again. Did my whole set, had a great set. And that was the end of it.
Dolphin, but, not wolf.
Well, yeah, I'm sure I've worn my wolf. I know I've worn my wolf shirt to the murder mystery. Matter of fact, the first time Katie's parents ever met, well, they met me just in passing, but the first time they were ever at an event, a murder mystery, and we'd actually spent some time together, I was wearing my original wolf shirt.
Well, I watched some of Dion Cole. He has a Comedy Central special. It just came out last week.
I worked with him. He looks like Lionel Richie.
Yeah, he's wearing he's a good-looking guy. He's got a shirt on, a button-up shirt, but half the buttons are undone. And then you know how you'll see like a black guy, or I guess it's a style, like an urban look, really baggy jeans?
Uh-huh.
He was wearing really baggy black leather pants. And it looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I know he's supposed to be a cool guy, and maybe he's trying to start that look. Because you think leather pants, you never think baggy, loose. But I don't know. I mean, I see comics that are young come to an open mic and they're wearing shorts. And that's always a pet peeve of mine, because it just, you know, you have to be who you are. So, you know, I've seen guys wear suits on stage and it works, and guys just wear jeans and a T-shirt.
If I wore a suit, it would look ridiculous.
It would.
If I wore shorts, it would look ridiculous. I mean, you have to look like yourself, or that you're not trying to be something that you're not. So, you know, I mean, obviously there was a time where people wore rainbow suspenders, and there's things that people did, but now I think that if you do anything outside of just wearing what you would wear on your normal day-to-day basis, people are going to be distracted by that. Mike is right about that.
I've also seen comics wear a shirt or something because they have a joke about it. But then they tell this one joke, and even if it gets a laugh, now you're wearing that ridiculous shirt for your entire set.
I always think it's funny when bands wear T-shirts for their own band. You see that every once in a while.
Well, they're trying to sell that shirt afterwards.
Well, no, like big bands. Like, you know, you'll see, I remember, I think it was the Foo Fighters, and somebody's wearing a Foo Fighters T-shirt. And I thought that was they kind of earned the right, where it's kind of funny to do that.
You want them to wear a Bare Naked Ladies T-shirt?
I definitely do not want them to wear a Bare Naked Ladies. One thing I didn't realize is that Robbie told me that's one of his favorite bands, which I can't believe.
I wouldn't say that. That would have made your outfit at Hall & Oates even worse if you had the NRA hat and a Bare Naked Ladies T-shirt.
If you were at the Bare Naked Ladies concert, would you have bought a t-shirt, a concert t-shirt, Robbie?
Maybe.
I don't think they sold them. That's how little they, few they sell them. I don't remember seeing one.
The other thing with comedy that I've been wanting to talk about for a while now is, at what point can you call yourself a comedian? Because I see a lot of guys that, look, there's thousands, not thousands, but there's tons of open mics. You can easily get on in DC or Baltimore, 4 to 10 a week. And if you do enough of those, you've told jokes in front of an audience, but I don't think you can call yourself a comedian. Like if you go to karaoke and sing, you don't call yourself a singer, do you?
One time I went to a Wizards playoff game, and I was given tickets by my company, and sitting next to me was a pretty high up guy in the company, and he brought somebody with him also within the company. I didn't know these people. So I'm introducing myself. Hey, I'm Joe, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, oh, this is so-and-so. I go, oh, okay. He goes, oh yeah, this guy's a comedian. Not to me, talking about this other guy sitting next to me. I said, oh yeah, it's cool. I said, oh, where have you performed? He goes, oh, well, I've performed. And he mentions, you know, place I've never heard of. And I go, oh, okay. You ever played any of the clubs? McGoobies or, you know, the Baltimore Comedy Factory? Because they're in Timonium. He goes, yeah, I played McGoobies. I go, you have? Oh, cool. All right, who'd you work with? He's like, what? I go, who'd you work with? He goes, well, no, they just did I go, oh, the showcase? Okay, you mean the one on Thursday? But yeah, they usually have, who's the headliner? So basically, I guess this guy had told everybody he was a comic because you can be a comic by going to Coco Lane. You follow what I'm saying? You can say you're a comic.
Yeah. You can even get on a flyer. You can get booked by someone to do a free show, and then your name is on a flyer. And if people don't know any better, they look at that and think, oh, this guy's going places. No, he's not.
Well, the bill comes due when you have to kind of explain. But if people don't know, then there's really no way to, because you're not lying. You're really not. If you told jokes and somebody asked you to come tell them, well, I guess you can say that you're a comedian. But really, if you were censoring yourself, right, you'd have to have a certain amount of time under your belt and a certain amount of gigs, and you have to make money during those gigs in order to call yourself a comedian.
I think if you count all the hours you spend in writing stuff and going to open mics and count that as working, meaning you would have gotten paid X amount of money for that. If after that point you're still positive money-wise, then you can call yourself a comedian. Meaning if you go to 6 open mics and then you do one show for $25, you didn't make $25 that week.
Right. You lost hundreds of dollars probably in food and drink and travel. Right. Yeah.
And just time is money, and just what the amount of effort and time you put in that, even if you just minimum wage that, you should have made $8 an hour or whatever.
I see. So if you make minimum wage for the amount of time you invest in comedy, then you are a comedian. That's actually pretty fair.
Yeah. Because to say you do it full time, there's a lot of people that don't do that that are definitely comedians to me.
Well, then I am 100% a comedian because I invest no time other than the actual performance. So
that is true. You do this. Does this count?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But still, I would still be in the plus because, you know, I worked 4 days last week on 98 Rock. That's the nice little chunk of change that'll carry me over for the whole month in terms of this show, right?
Right.
Because if this show is an hour and minimum wage is $8 an hour, that means basically every month it's $32, right? Between $32 and $40.
No prep. Yeah.
Yeah, good point. Well, no, I live my life. I don't consider that prep.
No, I'm making a joke that you do no prep.
Well, you and I will talk to each other usually the day before the show.
Joe. You're too busy. You never talk to me.
Before the show, and we just say, hey, what happened? And we walk through some things. Yeah. That's about a half an hour. So, yeah, maybe I put in a month 50 hours.
Yeah.
In the show.
Oh, we're definitely in the hole on this show. Yeah.
Over our career? No, but not if we count a comedy. We make enough doing stand up or radio or something, the murder mystery that we.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Speaking of comedians in quotes, I had an actual, for the first time in a while, a pleasant experience with one Chris Restivo.
Tell.
He has been interning somewhere, and now he says he's gotten hired. And he was at Coco Lane, the room Eric Woodworth runs, birthday boy. And I see him there. Usually it's where we usually hang out. And we've had some run-ins in the last few months that were, I would say, unpleasant. A lot of him being upset at you.
Threatening to kill me.
Yes.
Threatening to stab me.
Yeah, well, just I think he was just kidding. Let's not get him upset again, Joe. But he had a very pleasant disposition last week. He says he wants to make up with you, that he loves us, that he gets his coworkers to listen to the show. And believe it or not, he was doing his Donald Trump impression, and it wasn't bad. It was to the point where if he went on stage, and I told him this, don't say one fucking word as Chris Restivo. Don't do any crowd work. Don't acknowledge anything. Go up there, start as Donald Trump, say you need to pick a vice president, and these are my candidates. Then do your De Niro, do your Tracy Morgan, do your Gilbert Gottfried. Say thank you, good night. He would have at any typical open mic, I guarantee you he would have an above average set.
Do you think he'll do that?
Of course not.
I'm with the best.
But I jokingly said to him about coming on battling J.O. Covan, our buddy who does the world's greatest Trump. And he thinks that's happening now.
What do you mean thinks? I'll do it. Well, I don't know. Robbie's the one who always is like, not going to do it.
The question is, do the listeners want that? Do we want that? And you're right, Joe. Does Robbie want that?
So let's start up by saying this. I believe that Chris said, if Joe apologizes, then I'll... Is that what he said? Is that correct?
Yeah, he said, if you apologize to him for your... That happened at Coco Lane 6 months ago, he will apologize to you for all he said, and we'll all go to Millstream and be happy again.
Well, I will not go to Millstream, but I apologized to Chris that day. I apologized to him that night. And I apologized to him the following day. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get into all that happened, but Chris said something completely inappropriate.
Joe is a fucking douchebag.
No, that's appropriate.
And I took exception to it. And now I apologize again. This is another apology. So I am sorry.
Okay.
For what the events that took place at Coco Lane that many, many, many weeks ago.
Well, hopefully that'll be enough. A public apology, that sounds impressive to me.
That's
but Robbie,
good, right?
do you think that's a segment that's worth going down that path?
Maybe.
What's the matter, Robbie?
We can always pre-record it, and if it doesn't work, we can scrap it.
Well, I think it's funny if we just ask them different questions of Trump. And then we have to guess who's answer. Who was this? Was it J.O. or was it?
I think we're going to be able to figure that out.
Well, okay, but I don't.
Maybe we can judge who's funnier. Who was funnier at responding to? We'll ask one question of J.L. He'll respond. We'll ask one question of Chris Restivo.
That's not going to go over well.
Why not?
Somebody's not going to take it well.
Okay. Well, I mean, Chris will. I think he respects JL. They're Facebook friends.
Again, I'm willing to try it.
Maybe we should also poll our audience. Maybe they don't want this.
Okay. Well, I will post a poll. This will be the week of July 4th. It'll go up. We'll post it, and we'll see what the audience says. It's in their hands.
Please.
It's because on Facebook, our friend Dave Schofer posted that he has a new podcast. The Dave and Joe Awesome Podcast Show, I think that's what it's called. And I posted, hey, everybody, sorry to let everybody know that the Rob and Joe Show is no longer. Joe has left me for greener pastures. I wish you all the luck. And people believed it. Like, Restivo clamoring for your spot. Gramps was thinking it was over. Someone who will be unnamed messaged very upset thinking that it wasn't. They never just clicked on the link and saw that it's a different Joe. But people were so quick to believe that you left me for Dave Schofer.
Yeah, that was I mean, that did make me, and again, so I don't know if the audience knows who Dave Schoeffer is, but he is was a local comedy promoter, but he is also somebody who chronically, he's a chronic Facebook complainer. Is that the way to, is that the right way to say it?
Posting depressing things like, no one likes me, I'll never be happy. I just don't have it.
Right, right. Now, I like Dave, but that is what he's best known for.
Mm-hmm. Love Dave.
And they thought that I would literally stop my podcast with you, with my lifelong friend and also one of the funniest guys in the area, to do a podcast with a guy who isn't even in the industry. He doesn't do comedy. He doesn't even promote anymore.
Yep. And your father bought it.
He did. Man, it's, maybe this guy's good. The chauffeur guy.
Maybe. Now, our friend Tommy Simbazo has a podcast, and it's a nerd thing. I try to understand it, but I can't. Have you listened to it, Joe?
I listened to the beginning of it. It was a little disjointed. So I talked to Tommy, and I think I gave him a couple pointers to maybe improve the beginning of it, right? But what they're doing is they're playing a game called, I think it's called Pathfinder. I might be wrong about that.
That sounds right.
Do you know this game, Marcus?
I've played it from time to time.
Okay.
It's basically like if it's the Under Armour to the Reebok, to Nike. If Nike is Dungeons and Dragons, the Under Armour is Pathfinder. Is that correct, Marcus?
Yeah, it's probably a good analogy, but I think that this game, it allows for greater flexibility for groups all over to kind of participate.
So what they do is they play this game on this podcast. Now, I believe this to be a very niche audience, right? I think, but who knows? I mean, okay. So, but Tommy invited me to do it, to be on it. Now, I can't do it when he asked. He wanted me to do it the week of the July 4th. I'll be away at the beach, but then there's another, opportunity for me to do at the beginning of August. I said I would. So I'm going to be on the podcast playing this game. I'm going to be like a, you know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be a, I think he said a cleric. Is that, what's a healer, Marcus? Somebody who heals people.
A cleric would be one. There are a number of them, but a cleric is probably comes top of mind.
Do you have to learn how to play this first, or is that part of the show you're going to learn as you play?
No, I think you learn as you play. I think basically you roll dice. Isn't that what happens? And then you know, if you roll high enough, you get to beat people up or, you know, get jewels. And is that what it is, Marcus?
This is very much like any other role-playing game that's out there.
I think he may have stumbled onto a good concept, though, playing some sort of game like this that's niche that nerds are going to play, then having someone as a comedian like yourself who's never played the game come on, and you'll be funny and you'll make fun of it, but they'll still be playing the game. It might attract both people that love the game and people that have no idea about the game.
Oh no, I think I'll really enjoy it. I'm just wondering if people outside of this world will listen, but maybe people in this world, it's enough. Can I also say that, you know, I told you I spent some time with Eric Woodworth. We just mentioned him earlier in the show. Eric Woodworth has a rugby podcast.
That's niche and it does well.
But now he's doing a second podcast that he's now doing with his brother. And I'm like, dude, I mean, there's enough podcasts. Why would you do you don't need to do two podcasts. No, one is clearly enough. Agreed?
No, you're missing the point here. He's a married man with two young children. Anything to do just to get out of that for a second.
On Eric Woodward's refrigerator, forgot to mention this, his daughter drew a picture of the family.
Pretty good.
This girl clearly has no future in art.
Oh, isn't she like four?
I don't know how old she is, but Eric is wearing pink pants and they're the same height. I'm going to send it to you. Okay, maybe we can post it on our... What's that?
You took a picture of it?
I'm
going
to send it to you right now.
Oh, thank you. I mean, is anyone good at art at that age? What's supposed to look like?
I don't know how old she is. Robbie was really good.
Oh, look how that's turned out.
Sorry it's taking me so long, but good. Different subject while I try to find this picture.
Let's take a break because I want to come back to something that has to do with Robbie. And I think, Joe, it's possible that we made a mistake years ago that's changed the trajectory and arc of our podcast. Rob and Joe, be right back.
You're busy running errands and there's lots of places you need to visit. The post office doesn't need to be one of them. Just use Stamps.com instead to buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com always updates postage rates for you automatically. Unlike postage meter companies, Stamps.com never charges a fee to do it. So with Stamps.com, you get the exact postage you need for any letter or package the instant you need it. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Rob and Joe for a special offer. That's Stamps.com. Enter code Rob and Joe.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
We have a new listener. Her name is Beth Hoyle, and she came to us from TMOS, I believe. She seems to be super cool and friendly. We're now Facebook friends, and she is doing the Mac Berkson approach, where she is going to go back and listen to every single episode from the beginning, which is even more impressive than when Mac did it, because it's been, I don't know, that was 2 years ago, right, when he did that. So she's started this undertaking, and Mac mentioned to her that episode, I believe it's 52, his praise was... it was amazing. He said it's the greatest episode, not in our history, in the history of podcasts. And immediately I was like, I don't even know what he's referencing. So I go back on Podbean. They're not numbered, but, you know, one a week. You figure we started, you do a go a year ahead because there's a calendar on there. And then I figured, oh, it's got to be the year anniversary show. And if you go back to that episode, what is it, July 2013? Is that it, Robbie?
I was trying to look it up. It's something like that.
Okay. Robbie starts the show with this piece of production that it brought back a lot of great memories.
Oh, it's so great.
He ties in all the things that happened in year one, and a lot happened. It's like 10 minutes long, and it is brilliant.
Yeah, no, it's great. Robbie, and the reason that we don't get that anymore is because Robbie doesn't have the time that he once had.
Well, hold on.
But yeah, that was so good.
I just listened to it again, and I listened to us talk about it, and clearly we said great job, but I think we undersold, and I think that Robbie thought we would make more of a big deal out of it, and I think ever since that point, he's said, I'm not going to give what I gave because it didn't get what it should have got.
Well, here's the other thing about that. Robbie also... wrote we don't really talk about this anymore, but the Mike Finazzo song is also in that episode.
I'm looking at this picture, by the way. I think it's a good picture. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the one girl who drew it, I'm not going to say his children's name. Her sister drew a picture of her sister. She's only a head. Like, everybody has a body except for her sister. She's just a floating head.
That's artistic. She's saying that she's not a whole person yet, underdeveloped. She's not... You have to get to a certain age before you get a torso and feet. I mean, you think this is something that stands out? This looks like any picture that a girl or a would draw.
You don't think it looks like my two moms? I mean, clearly, first of all, Eric's thin, which is ridiculous, right? Do you see it, Robbie?
Yes, I'm looking at it.
Eric's thin, and he has long eyelashes. So it looks like, you know.
I am telling you right
Victoria's
now.
Secret model.
I could not draw a better picture than what she drew.
Yes, you could.
I bet you I cannot. I will try to duplicate that.
Clearly give them all bodies, right?
Okay. I'm saying my body might be worse than no body. This is the level of my drawing ability is what she's done.
Yeah, I said, is that Eric or Sandra Bullock?
Right. And the only one that has arms is the mom. So the mom has arms. She's wearing a dress.
Mommy's always doing stuff, and Eric's busy shoveling food in his face.
And the dad has no arms, but has super giant, long, like stilt legs.
Look, I might be closer to scale than she is, but that's pretty much where I'm at as a drawer, as an artist.
When my children were younger, they used to watch this. It was called Veggie Tales, and it was like this. God-based cartoon that they used to watch.
Right.
and they were vegetables, but those were the characters. They had no arms or no legs. They were tomatoes and cucumbers and gourds and stuff like that. And that looks a lot like these things.
I don't know. I think it's solid work. You think I'm being funny? That's literally how I draw.
Could you, Robbie? Do you mind putting it on the Robin Joe Show Facebook page?
Should we get permission yet from? Yeah.
You better ask Eric.
Oh yeah, because the names are on there. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, come on, jeez. Well, no, back to the episode, the year anniversary, Robbie. Am I right? And you felt like we didn't give you the proper love?
No, not at all. It was what it was. I did the work and I was proud of it. I didn't need you guys to praise me. I knew it was great.
Stop it.
We're still talking about it 3 years later.
Everyone needs praise when you work that hard. Come on.
That had to take hours and hours, right, Robbie, to do that?
I promise you it did not take the wind out of my sails when you guys didn't carry on about it, because that's not your nature. I was proud of the work. It got on the show and I was happy.
How long did it take to put that together?
It took a few days.
Well, we should isolate that and start posting that clip, because that is fantastic work, Rob.
It's on YouTube as well.
Okay, well I'll find that and we'll start pushing that, because it needs to be enjoyed. Beth isn't quite there yet. She and Mac told her to wait so she can fully appreciate it. She's going to like it the best because those episodes are fresh in her mind. So thank you, Beth. Welcome to the party. I guess wrapping up here, I did a corporate gig at the DC Improv recently. It was a fun show. And the boss man, he's a runner. If I tell you, Joe, that someone runs marathons, on a scale of 1 to 10, how 10 being the most impressed, how impressed are you in their long distance running ability?
Oh, they run a marathon? I mean, 9. Yeah.
Really, you're not at a 10? Because I'm at a 10.
Well, I mean, just say, I mean, that doesn't, I mean, I like Oprah ran a marathon. I mean, I'm impressed, but let's not, you know, let's not get crazy.
Well, this guy runs 100-mile races.
Okay, that's a 10. Clearly, it's a 10.
But my point is, and I said this, because that's 4 times the length. Are you 4 times as impressed than someone who just runs 26 miles?
No, it's more than 4. Because a marathon, that's where you expend every ounce of your energy. At the end, you're like, okay, I can't do anything else. And this guy goes 3 times further than that.
Well, that's my point. It's like you have $1 billion. Now you have $1,500,000. Either way, I'm super impressed with your financial situation.
No, but that's not what it is. There are people that like, there's, oh, this guy's a billionaire. Oh, this guy's, he's the richest guy in the world. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a difference. Yeah. If you're Bill Gates or you're, you know, do you know anybody who just has $1 billion?
No, I found myself less impressed that he runs 100 miles. Then he runs marathons. Because now I'm really? Like, there's some issue with you. You're running 100 miles. What are you trying to prove? Now I'm trying to analyze. And now you're showing off. Where you just run marathons, like, good for you. You don't get that vibe?
No, I always think about, like, this is how my mind works. Like, I'll see people that, like, the gymnasts for the U.S. Olympic team. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I see them, like, I see Michael Phelps. I'm like, what's this guy's life like? He literally wakes up in the morning, swims and eats, goes to bed, wakes up the next morning, swims. He does this for a decade. You see what I'm saying? I'm like, that sounds miserable.
Oh no, the dedication is unmatched in any other thing, really.
And in order to run 100 miles, you don't just be like, hey man, this guy's in pretty good shape. No, you have to train for what? 5 years to run 100 miles? Probably more than that to run 100 miles. Right. Do you know anybody that can run 100 miles except for this guy?
That's the only guy I know. And by the way, he was super cool and it was a good time. And he was okay with me making fun of him. But it just...
Was he fat?
No. Yes. he wasn't fat or Kenyan. So it was very, very surprising. I guess that's the show, right? We're a little short this week. It's 4th of July. Anything else? Oh, yeah. You know what? We need someone, a rock show listener, to go on Marcus Serta's show, The Americast. All you have to do is comment on the clips that he's going to play from all the more network shows. And if you don't listen to our show, lie and tell him listen to all the others. Because once he plays the clip, you can just comment on it. You're smart people. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, even if you only listen to our show, that's you can still go on, right?
Yeah, there's nothing stopping anybody from being on the show as long as they're listeners of one or more of the more broadcasting programming.
Yeah.
Have you ever said, have you ever had anybody on the show other than this recent guy? I won't say his name, but I think it's David Kalazar.
Yes, it
is. That you're never going to have on again? Is that the only guy that's been banned for sucking so bad?
Oh, wow.
No, I'm not going to ban David, but I if there was one person that I would consider saying was banned, yes, there is one, and that was because he specifically came on my show just to be a dick.
Who's that, me?
No, it was a guy. I'm just kidding. It was a guy from one of those old-fashioned bulletin boards.
Okay. I know who that is.
Now, Joe didn't even listen to AmeriCast yet. He's bashing Kolazar. Kolazar likes us. I don't know why you're doing that, Joe.
But I'm just kidding.
You're saying, you said, Marcus, that it wasn't a pleasurable experience.
Well, when I called, he didn't even know who I... We've scheduled this now twice. The first time, he said, oh, I'm busy, even though we had scheduled it. And yes, it was Father's Day, but we had scheduled it. And so I said, fine, let's do it next week. So when I called and I said, hi, it's Marcus from AmeriCast, he goes, who? Marcus from AmeriCast, we scheduled for you to be on the show. The what? Oh, dear Lord. It was a really great start. And then, we played some clips and we talked about some things that obviously he's not directly connected to. And I think he took it off in tangents. But I'm hoping that at the end of it, at least he turned into a Robin Joe listener.
You know what I would do if my name was David Kalazar?
What's that?
Every time I entered a room, I'd say, don't turn around. David Kalazar's in town.
What?
You don't get that, Rob?
No, I don't know what that is.
I bet you Marcus and Rob do.
No, I have no clue what you're talking about.
Seriously?
Robbie?
It's a reference to Dercomisar, the song.
You've never heard that song before?
Oh, jeez. I totally forgot about that, yes.
I don't know what that song is.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
You'd have to. I'm sure if I heard it, but yeah.
It's played on all the hot stations these days. Yeah. All the kids. Well,
that guy also sang Amadeus Falco. He sang, don't turn around. David Kalazar's in town. And he sang Amadeus. And then he died in a horrific car accident. We never heard any more great songs from him.
But he did the German version after the fire did the English version.
Right, yeah, well, I'm surprised we didn't hear that. Yeah. Hey, Joe, why don't you save that joke for Katie's high school reunion?
Hey, can I say who I would like banned from AmeriCast?
Oh, no.
Who's that?
I
won't say her name, but listen, she should be banned at least until she can get her audio together.
Oh, it has nothing to do with this person
bashing you.
Yeah, we know who we're talking about.
Is there anybody that likes you that you want banned from AmeriCast regardless of their audio? Has that happened?
No. If Mac Bergson sounded like crap every time he called AmeriCast, I would say the same thing about him. I'd be like, come on, get it together, man.
What if that person wanted to have a debate against Chris Restivo on this show? Would you allow for that?
Not if they had bad audio.
Okay.
We had a guest on this show one time. I actually took the time to test his audio. It was perfect. I'm like, great. Your setup's fantastic. And then when he actually got on the show, he sounded like crap. I'm like, what happened, dude? He's like, oh, I'm moving. I packed my headset. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
Who was that?
I don't want to say the guy's name.
Why not?
Can I say, Rob?
I don't remember who it is.
It was the guy from TMZ.
Oh, Brian McDaniel.
Yeah.
Why would we not be able to say that?
We're going to lose
all the Brian McDaniel fans.
You don't want TMZ going to tweet about this?
They're going to come at us. Things would be a feud, Robbie.
Yeah, he was a nice guy. He just was a little inept with the audio thing.
Robbie, if you're going to hold audio as the bar, the threshold, you shouldn't have made it to year two.
Boom. There you go. Yeah, don't go back and listen to episode 52. Change my mind.
We had moments where it sounded like her audio. I will admit it.
Moments.
I love you, Merle.
62 to 97. Yeah. Well, happy 4th of July, everybody. We'll be back next week. We are start hitting the murder mystery stuff like crazy. Hashtag murder mystery month, July. We're taking over. We'll see you then.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.